Welcome to the Fund2000.com Real Estate Podcast. My name is Chuck Hamm. This episode addresses dual representation in real estate transactions. We'll talk about some of the problems it presents, why you shouldn't do it, and then why some people still do it, and when it can actually be a good thing. So there are limited times when dual representation can work out, and we'll get there, but first let's talk about the general rule, which is don't do it and why not. Generally, the issue is how can one representative or agent effectively or competently represent the interests of both parties, and the answer is they cannot. A buyer's interests are in getting the most for the lowest price. The seller's interests are the opposite. They want to give up the least and for the lowest price. Buyers want repairs which cost money, for example, but sellers don't want to do repairs because they cost money. Buyers want complete disclosures, but sellers want to disclose the minimum required information. So how does one agent represent both sides? The answer is they never actually do. The only time dual representation works out is when at least the unrepresented party is himself an agent or an attorney or very experienced and knowledgeable in the subject matter of the transaction. Representation is designed to protect one's interests. A buyer's interests could involve money, future obligations, information such as knowing the condition of the property they're purchasing, understanding contract terms, and a whole lot more. A seller's interest could be in getting the best price, not wasting time on unqualified buyers, understanding the market so as to not list for too low or too high a price. Also, a seller needs help in complying with all the contractual deadlines, so does a buyer. And demanding performance from the other side on contractual deadlines. An agent always helps a seller manage the cost of the transaction and the buyer as well. An agent tries to keep those costs as low as possible and for a good value. So these are just a few examples. You should be getting the idea now as to how an agent can't really be both a buyer and a seller's agent, but people still do dual representation sometimes. And how does that work? First, understand that dual representation isn't truly representing both sides. It's not really a dual representation. That's just it's a misnomer almost, because you just have one agent. But the problem is that the agent can only act as fiduciary to only one of the parties, because the agent cannot act as a fiduciary to both. That's because of all the reasons I just described. A fiduciary duty requires the agent to step into the shoes of his client and put the interests of the client above his or her own interests and above anyone else's interests. When an agent's interests or the interests of another party prevent the agent from performing his or her duty to the client, then we have what's called a conflict of interest. Conflict of interest is the legal problem that we encounter with dual agency, and that could get you into some legal problems, or it could get the agent into legal problems. Law prohibits agents, attorneys, and representatives of almost any type to perform any act or service that breaches one's duties to the client. That includes conflicts of interest. There are often statutes that govern conflicts of interest, but there are so many different types of agency relationships and so many different types of situations that it's impossible for law to cover all the possible conflicts, or in other words, it's impossible for the code to expressly, specifically address all the different types of conflict of interest problems that could arise. However, in California real estate, we do have a few laws on this matter. The most commonly required one in sales of real estate is the use of the required agency relationship disclosure. If you're watching on YouTube, I'm showing a copy of the required disclosure. This disclosure is just telling the clients about the law. This is not informed consent. What is informed consent? Informed consent usually refers to a document that you sign stating that you understand the particular situation that or the particular representation that you have and you're consenting to it. You understand your rights and the risks that are involved in such a situation that you're signing off on in that specific informed consent situation, and that your rights might be compromised in some way, but you're informed of the risks and you're willing to proceed despite the risks. This form, on the other hand, is required when an agent is involved in a sales transaction or a lease of over 1 year. This form basically summarizes the law and a party's rights in a real estate transaction as to agency relationships, what kind of agency relationships are allowed under law, and how California law breaks those agency relationships down. And in a nutshell, it's telling you that dual agency is allowed. So let's get into the document. All right, so top paragraph, a seller's agent under a listing agreement with the seller acts as the agent for the seller only. And to the seller, that agent owes a fiduciary duty of utmost care, integrity, honesty, and loyalty in dealings with the seller. So this is where you should see that that agent for the seller cannot possibly be loyal to both the seller and the buyer, because the duty that the agent has in that situation where there's a seller's agent is only to the seller. But we are stating what is required under the law to the buyer and the seller next. So this is saying a seller's agent does owe a basic minimum duty to both the buyer and the seller. And here's what it says: diligent exercise of reasonable care and skill and care in performance of the agent's duties, a duty of honesty and fair dealing and good faith, a duty to disclose all facts known to the agent materially affecting the value or desirability of the property that are not known to or within the diligent attention and observation of the parties. An agent is not obligated to reveal either party any confidential information obtained from the other party that does not involve the affirmative duties set forth above. Then it outlines a buyer's agent's duties. So if you're a buyer's agent, or if you have a buyer's agent, you can guarantee that the duty by law is that the buyer's agent owes a fiduciary duty of utmost care, integrity, honesty, and loyalty in dealings with the buyer. And that's why both parties should have their own agents. Each one wants to have somebody representing their interests at that level. But even the buyer's agent, just like the seller's agent, also has this minimum duty of representation, of diligent exercise of reasonable skill and care and performance of the agent's duties, a duty of honest and fair dealing, a good faith, a duty to disclose all facts. So you can keep reading there, but that's the basic gist of it. Now let's get into agent representing both buyer and seller. A real estate agent, either acting directly or through one or more salespersons and broker associates, can legally be the agent of both the seller and the buyer in a transaction, but only with the knowledge and consent of both the buyer and the seller. So this is where you do get into an informed consent situation if the agent is going to represent both the buyer and the seller in the transaction. You want to get it in writing, you want to get written consent from both the buyer and the seller. That's going to be the case, that both parties agree to that. In a dual agency situation, the agent has the following affirmative obligations to both the buyer and the seller: a fiduciary duty of utmost care, integrity, honesty, and loyalty in the dealings with either the seller or the buyer, not both. Other duties to the seller and the buyer as stated above in their respective sections. So that's what I was saying before. You can't have an agent who's loyal to both. You can't have an agent who gives his utmost care and integrity and honesty and loyalty to both the seller and the buyer. It's one or the other. But as a minimum threshold, the other duties, A, B, and C, still apply. And the minimum duties are things like reasonable care, honesty, disclosure. So that's, in a nutshell, the agency relationship disclosure. The second page, if you go to that, is just telling you all the same things, but where it is located in the civil code. So civil code section 2079.13 all the way to 2079.24, and so on. This required disclosure form is helpful, but with our culture of just signing without reading, a lot of people don't get to fully understand their rights as to agency relationships. I think a lot of times parties get duped into believing that they need to be in a dual agency situation because the market is, you know, tight and there aren't that many listings available, so they just accept whatever terms are presented to them without properly negotiating it. Even though a lot of times they could have gotten a buyer's agent. I'll get into that here shortly. So when is dual representation good? Well, when both parties are fully informed and they consent to it. An agent who has already been hired to act as one's fiduciary is rarely in a situation in which they can correctly recommend dual agency. But an example of a scenario in which it might work is when the seller perhaps is represented by an agent and an unrepresented buyer himself is an experienced real estate agent or very experienced in real estate sales, and at least the seller is able to save money by allowing his or her own fiduciary take on some basic representation duties for the buyer. The representation duties are pretty much limited in this case because even though we are calling this dual representation, the agent still owes the highest duty to the seller only. Dual representation does not change that, just like we just got done discussing in the form. Dual representation could save the seller some money in this situation. Let's say it saves the buyer 2% of the purchase price, and we can use the average home price around here, maybe $700,000. 2% of that is $14,000. So if the dual representation saves your client $14,000, that's a real number, and you could justify doing the dual representation and recommending that if it's actually saving that amount of money. Now, the buyer might have a different opinion about that, but from the perspective of whether an agent can fulfill his fiduciary duty to the seller in recommending a dual agency, that would be my position on that. It has to save the client a real substantial amount of money. That buyer commission that the seller saves on is probably the only savings and the only benefit to the seller. And as often is the case, the buyer doesn't actually get the benefit that the seller got. So you would think that maybe if the buyer is coming in without representation and giving up representation, that maybe the seller would pass on some of those savings to the buyer, but that rarely ever happens. It does sometimes, but it rarely happens. Because of that, I don't really think buyers get much upside when they give up having their own agent, except for the fact that unfortunately I know there are a lot of incompetent agents out there, and sometimes a buyer thinks they're just better off on their own. Unfortunately, I can relate to that. Our office has done and will continue to do dual representation, but only after careful safeguards to our client, and to ensure that our clients are actually benefiting substantially from dual representation. This almost always means saving money to our client and almost always means not giving up information and rights unnecessarily. We always go through an informed consent process to make sure all parties consent to that situation and make sure that there is a benefit to everybody involved. Our office also adds value by performing closing services when we represent one of the parties in the transaction. So you can theoretically save on escrow fees and other closing fees if our office is representing one side, then we can perform that third party neutral escrow role in the transaction. We don't do it often, but we do it in special circumstances. Our office always saves our clients money through all forms of representation, as well as services that require no representation, such as recording documents in private transactions. Maybe you are a seller who takes back a note and a trust deed on the sale of your transaction instead of taking all the money up front in a loan. And that could be the case coming up in future months or years as the market declines. Sellers might have to do some creative financing. We can help with all that. We can get the trust deeds recorded for you. We're set up to do electronic recording. We get documents like that recorded very quickly, just like escrow companies. Our in-house lender is available 24/7 to pre-qualify all buyers independently. This is a benefit to sellers because we reduce sellers' risk of wasting time with unqualified buyers. Unqualified buyers sometimes have to back out of transactions because of underwriting problems. Maybe they have more debt than was expected, or Their income isn't quite what they said it was. We can avoid all those problems by because we can foresee, we can get all the documentation up front, because that's what they have to do to qualify for the loan anyways. That's why you want agents and a representation who's going to make sure all of that is covered. Well, our office is a lender as well as a sales agency. We're also very competitive with firms like Redfin, who give back half of the realtor commission upon closing. That's a huge benefit to be able to reduce the money that you need to buy a home. If you're a buyer who is trying to save money, all buyers are trying to save money, but if you need those extra funds for your closing costs, that's what that's the benefit of that realtor commission half back credit. We also have great agents. We have all the best loan programs, such as down payment assistance programs, FHA, VA, loans tailored for self-employed people that are based off of things like bank statements instead of W-2s or 1099s or tax returns. And we even have loans for foreign nationals. And of course, we have the lowest available interest rates. Check us out at sold2000.com. Or our sales side. If you want to go directly to our lending side, go to fund2000.com. You can check out our interest rates or even apply for a loan or get it started. You can use those sites to contact me, and we'll start a discussion on how we can help you. Thanks for listening.